Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
And look at this beautiful shot here, the sun behind me. Enjoy it today because the WRAL Severe Weather Team is tracking a chance for storms tomorrow. Hello and thank you for joining us this evening. I'm Mark Boyle. Meteorologist Anthony Baglione here with us now in the WRAL Severe Weather Center to talk about when those storms could get here.
Yeah, certainly a beautiful start to this weekend. Of course, we've been talking about the fall-like weather. As you said, Mark, make sure to soak it up tonight because we have those changes on the way for tomorrow. That's going to be our next storm system here. Most of the first half of the day tomorrow should have no issues and should be nice and dry. It's once we head into the afternoon and evening where we could get some showers and storms. None of those will be severe, and it's a pretty quick-hitting system. It should be out of here by the time we head into our Monday morning commute. Let's go through Futurecast. You can see tomorrow morning we are looking good. You can rest easy tonight. But the rain starts to push in. I think as we head into the early parts of the afternoon, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock or so, we'll watch for off and on showers and storms pushing through. 6 o'clock, this particular model has most of this out of here. I think we will hold on to that coverage a little bit longer than what this is advertising, though. 10 o'clock, you can see still some scattered storms around for us, so just plan for that here as we head again into our Sunday afternoon and evening. There's a good summary for you. Starting off nice and dry tomorrow morning, we'll see the clouds on the increase, and then we bump those rain chances up to about 70% chance tomorrow afternoon. So if you have any plans, certainly pay very close attention here to the forecast. We will talk about this storm system, though, in detail here, plus look at the tropics where we have multiple systems that we're watching, Mark, here in just a few minutes.
What evening tomorrow, Mark. Anthony, thank you. Breaking tonight, police in Raleigh are investigating after someone found a body outside of a McDonald's. The investigation happening right near the Crabtree Valley Mall on Blue Ridge Road. WRAL's Carly Haynes joining us now there alive to tell us what's going on with this investigation. That's a really busy area this time of night.
Very busy area, especially on a Saturday. Not only is there a restaurant, but there's also a trail nearby. The scene is now clear, but just a few hours ago, there was caution tape marking off a part of the parking lot where the body was found. We saw Raleigh police, a medical examiner, and forensics all here. They're taking pictures of the inside of a car. The McDonald's drive-thru is now back open. We've seen quite a few people come by in and out of the restaurant. We've also seen cyclists using the trail nearby. We spoke to one of those cyclists who said he rides through here a couple times a week. He said he was taken off guard when he heard there was a body found here just hours earlier.
Generally, it's pretty safe. That scenario, I don't really run into problems with anybody around here. So it was very surprising to me.
He also did tell us that it won't change how frequently he rides on this trail. We still don't know the cause or who the victim was, but Raleigh police are telling us that they are currently not seeking a suspect. Mark.
Carly Haynes, live for us tonight in Raleigh. Thank you. Police in Southern Pines are investigating a death there. The department says officers responded to Canterbury Road for a report of someone who is emotionally distressed. When police and EMS tried to take the person to treatment, they say he ran away. The department says he then jumped into the lake and drowned. An officer and another person in the area tried to save him but couldn't. Police have identified him as Philip House. Roanoke Rapids police arrested a woman they say stabbed someone multiple times in front of a child. Sabrina Carr is charged with attempted murder and child abuse. Officers say Carr's child was in the area during the stabbing but was not hurt. Authorities did not release the name of the victim in this case but did say it is in the hospital. The person is in the hospital in stable condition. Carr is due in court on September 28th. We now know the name of a man shot and killed in Durham this morning. Police identified him as 30-year-old Aaron Parker. The shooting happened near NC 54 and NC 55 at that intersection just before 2 a.m. When police got to the scene, they couldn't find the victim. Witnesses say he was loaded into a car which drove off. He was later dropped off at the hospital where he died. A woman died Saturday morning after she was hit by a car while walking on a highway. This happened along U.S. 70 West in Goldsboro. Authorities say April Underhill was walking near one of the lanes with her husband. He was not hurt in the incident. The driver did stay at the scene and cooperated with authorities there. Police did not release her name, and they say she will not be charged. Governor Cooper is denouncing what he calls a backroom deal that will remove casinos and Medicaid expansion from North Carolina from the proposed new budget. Here's the information we know. Republican political operative Dallas Woodhouse posted on social media that House GOP members were meeting this morning by phone to discuss budget issues. Governor Cooper posted his response on X, which used to be Twitter. It reads, GOP demand for passage of their backroom casino deal in exchange for a state budget and Medicaid expansion is the most brutally dishonest legislative scheme I've seen in my 3+ decades. People are right now to be suspicious, he goes on to say. Something has a grip on Republican leaders, and it's not the people of North Carolina. Durham city manager is proposing a one-time bonus for city employees. This comes after Durham sanitation workers went on strike earlier this month for a week. Those workers were asking for a cost of living increase and $5,000 bonuses. City manager Wanda King proposed a $3,000 bonus for workers making less than $57,000, a $2,500 bonus for employees with salaries between $57,000 and $90,000, and a $2,000 bonus for city workers making more than $90,000.
As a longtime city employee, it has always been important to me that we fairly pay our employees. I care about every one of them because I know how hard they work for our residents each day.
Page says by early next year, the city will have recommendations from a compensation study that will help Durham bring employee pay in line with the market. It's one of Raleigh's biggest concert venues, but last night, while thousands were enjoying a performance at the Walnut Creek Amphitheater, thieves were smashing their way into cars in the parking lot. WRAL's Eric Miller has the latest on that investigation now.
A witness tells WRAL that when they walked out of last night's concert here at the Walnut Creek Amphitheater, they found multiple cars with windows shattered and the valuables inside stolen.
Raleigh police say they got the call at 10:46. That's when the packed house for the Lynyrd Skynyrd and ZZ Top concert was just letting out. Five cars total were broken into in the parking lot. RPD confirms valuables inside were stolen, but didn't provide any further details. The thefts come as Raleigh and Durham have seen a rash of car break-ins, especially in apartment parking garages over the last several months. RPD says they're continuing to investigate the break-ins at Walnut Creek Amphitheater and are asking anyone with information to come forward. Eric Miller, WRAL News, Raleigh.
And we have reached out to the Walnut Creek Amphitheater to ask about security measures taken during the concert. So far, we have not heard back. Fayetteville police are asking for your help in finding an 11-year-old boy. The department says Stacy McCrowey has been missing since around 8 o'clock last night. He was last seen at the playground at Hyde Place wearing a black T-shirt, jogging pants, and Nike shoes. Anyone with information about his whereabouts is asked to call police. Also in Cumberland County, authorities are searching for a missing and endangered 14-year-old. Samir Scott was last seen yesterday near Westover High School. He was wearing a black shirt, black pants, blue socks, and black and white Jordans at the time. Authorities consider Scott endangered because of his medical condition. You are asked to call the sheriff's office if you can help in either of these cases. Two of the big three American automakers are laying off employees as a result of the United Auto Workers strike. Ford and GM announced 2,600 union workers will be let go as a ripple effect of what's happening right now. The UAW strike is targeting three major assembly plants, one for each of the automakers. The union criticized the layoffs and threatened to expand the strike to additional plants. The DOT needs volunteers to help clean up the state this month. The fall litter sweep started today, and the DOT hopes volunteers across the state help up and pick up the roadside litter. The sweep happens twice a year, once in April and then in September. The fall sweep runs through September 30th. Learn more and sign up online at ncdot.gov. This morning, people came out to walk, run in an effort to fight childhood cancer. Ahead, how much money this event was able to raise and how many people decided to be part of it. And in just a few hours, you could be a millionaire. How much money is on the line for tonight's big Powerball? Ahead. There's a beautiful shot for you. Live look over Lake Gaston there this evening. Get out there and enjoy the sun while you can. We are hearing rain on the way for tomorrow. We'll get to that here in just a moment. Today marks 2 years since Chapel Hill police arrested a suspect in the murder of Faith Hedgepath. She was a UNC student killed in her apartment more than 11 years ago. Miguel Enrique Salguero Olivares was in jail, and he is there right now with no bond and charged in this case. We spoke with her father about her memory and whether he feels the family has seen justice after all this time. You can watch part of that interview on WRAL News tonight, Fox 50 at 10 and WRAL News at 11 o'clock. More than 1,000 people either walked or ran in South Raleigh today to fight childhood cancer. Today's event raised about $180,000 for the not-for-profit St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. WRL is a proud community partner there. Five on Your Side's Keely Arthur was there to host this morning. The event drew a mix of supporters, survivors, and people who've lost loved ones to childhood cancer. Survivor Julianne Capp says she wouldn't be here today if it weren't for the incredible work at St. Jude.
So when I was 5 years old, I was diagnosed with acute lymphoblastic leukemia, which is the most common form of childhood cancer. And I was sent to St. Jude, luckily, for my treatment back in 1984. When St. Jude opened their doors in 1962, just 22 years before I was diagnosed, the survival rate for that type of cancer was only 4%. So 96 out of 100 children who are diagnosed with the most common form of childhood cancer did not make it. Now, today, because of the work that St. Jude has done just a short 61 years later, that survival rate is over 94%.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital is in Memphis, Tennessee. They freely share their research and medical breakthroughs, which have a direct impact in the fight against childhood cancer right here in the Triangle. Today in Wilson, there was an event to raise awareness about the second deadliest kind of cancer in men, prostate cancer. September is Prostate Cancer Awareness Month. UNC Men's Health hosted a panel discussion and provided free screenings at Jackson Chapel First Missionary Baptist Church. Medical experts say early detection is absolutely critical with prostate cancer.
30,000 men per year die from prostate cancer. And in many cases, those are ones that could have been diagnosed early at a more treatable stage.
And the panel included UNC basketball legend and gold medal Olympian Phil Ford, who is a prostate cancer survivor. Nearly $600 million is up for grabs in tonight's Powerball jackpot. Your cash value would be just under $290 million. This is the third largest Powerball so far this year, and you can watch the drawing right here on WREL at 11 p.m. Insect enthusiasts and spider fans gathered at the Museum of Natural Sciences in downtown Raleigh today. This year's Bug Fest featured crafts, games, and opportunities to touch some creepy crawlies. The museum's entomologist taught families about different kinds of bugs. This year's theme was spiders. And you have one more day to enjoy Centerfest Arts Festival in downtown Durham. It's a fine arts festival featuring dozens of artists, booths, and multiple performances stages out there. Admission is free with a $5 suggested donation. It wrapped up just a few minutes ago today, but it'll be back open tomorrow from 11 a.m. until 5 p.m. WREL is a proud community partner. USA Today Wine and Food Adventures, this touring the nation showcasing local cuisine. Today's stop at Dick's Park featured food and drink samplings. Looks like a good day out there. The next event is in Jacksonville, Florida, next weekend. Beautiful day to be outside. I was outside for a little bit before coming in this afternoon. Anthony, tomorrow looks like we have some rain on deck.
Yeah, we've been saying here, if you can get outside at all the next couple of hours this evening, before that rain, it's going to be a good idea. It's just been beautiful. Hopefully you've been able to get outside and enjoy. I was out for a walk earlier today and my dog was loving it. I was loving it. That sunshine felt great. This kind of tells the story of where we were today. You see kind of, in fact, that sunlight reflecting there on the lens. We have a few clouds in the distance, the sunshine across really most of this part of the state, and it's comfortable. It is warmer, though, of course, than where we were yesterday. We're seeing temperatures at 84 in Raleigh and Durham, 82, good evening to you in Rocky Mount, 79 in Roxborough. It is not coming with much humidity, though, so that's been the factor that keeps us feeling pretty comfortable. We have high pressure in control right now sitting right offshore. What that does usually is, I like to say, it just brings the calm weather. You get under high pressure and it starts to make the air underneath of it sink. And so we don't get a lot of forcing for some showers and storms. You see, though, as that moves out, we're starting to see some showers back toward the mountains right now. Asheville and Boone, pretty wet out there this evening. That is what's going to head our way into tomorrow. if you want to fire up the grill tonight, go camping, something like that. Anything going on, it should be beautiful. 63 by the time we wake up tomorrow morning. Clear skies, maybe just a few clouds, but all in all here, very comfortable. So then we got the changes on the way tomorrow. Let's talk about the rain here so you can plan your Sunday. Waking up tomorrow morning, no issues, but we will progressively start to see the clouds increasing through the day along with those rain chances. So if you're out, let's say at a 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the afternoon event, I do think it'd be a good idea to have the umbrella with you. You notice Futurecast continuing to advertise that. There's 3 o'clock. We go along into the evening. 10, 11 o'clock, even at night. I think we're still talking some scattered storms. We do not have a severe weather potential here. We did have that earlier, and they have since dropped that to along the coast at this point. By the time we head into Monday morning, we should be nice and dry. So really quick hitting system, but it will be wet, I think, as we head into the later half of tomorrow. There's a look at the severe risk. If you're headed toward a place like New Bern, Wilmington, even Atlantic Beach, we do have that chance of some strong to severe storms. It's that level 1 out of 5 for us into tomorrow. The big question, though, I know, is do these fall-like temperatures continue to last as we head over the next couple of days? Our normals 83, we're going to be below that for us tomorrow, 79 due to that rainfall. I have no 90s in the forecast, though, this next week or so. I think we've seen that kind of pattern flip, if you will, where the 90s may be done. We'll have to see kind of going forward, but it's certainly looking more like that fall-like weather. Let's talk about the tropics here because, of course, it's still busy. We have Tropical Depression 15. This one's out in the central Atlantic, expected to become a pretty strong hurricane. Again, though, this track that we've been seeing a lot of these storms taking, thankfully, curves this away from any land, even keeps that away from Bermuda, bumping it up to a Category 2 hurricane, though, the peak intensity with that one. And then we also have what is now post-tropical Cyclone Lee, which basically means it's starting to fizzle out, but still pretty strong. 70-mile-per-hour winds here as it made landfall along the Nova Scotia area. Look at that beautiful forecast that we have the storms into tomorrow. 80 degrees on Monday. Most of this week, Mark, is looking great with temperatures in the low to mid 80s.
All right, Anthony, thank you. And turning out to sports, Casey Hentz here to talk about a big day in college football across the area.
Yeah, beautiful weather for it, right? I was out at NC State shooting that game. We're going to have highlights from Carolina, Duke, and NC State coming up next. Well, among the questions coming into the season for North Carolina was its run game, and they've seemed to find the answer to that in big part thanks to Cleveland's own Armarian Hampton, who enters the week ranked fourth in the FBS in rushing yards. That means Drake May's numbers are down just a bit, but for him, you know what, it's all about winning. Tar Heels looking to go 3-0. First ever meeting between UNC and Minnesota. A lot of mutual respect between Mack Brown and P.J. Fleck. First quarter. Let me introduce you to Nate McCollum, Georgia Tech transfer, making his debut. Drake May putting him into some good use there. It was 7-0 Heels. A lot of big plays for the Tar Heels offense. After a deep ball to J.J. Jones, it's Omarion Hampton from in close. That UNC impressive on offense, except for two Drake May picks. Already 4 in the year, but you know, you take the bad for plays like this. May to Bryson Nesbitt. It would be 21-10 at the half. Right now it is 24-13 in the fourth quarter. To Carter Finley Stadium we go. NC State trying to bounce back, hosting VMI. Loved this. Men's basketball coach Kevin Keats and women's head coach Wes Moore living their best lives. Fired up the crowd pregame. Pack ready from the kickoff. First possession. Delbert Mims kicks off a 12 play, 58-yard drive. Punching in for one of his two scores. Ensuing drive now for the Keydets. Robert Kennedy reads it like a book. He's picking off Colin Shannon. Bobbing and weaving 30 yards for the pick six. Dave Doran won a complimentary football, and he got it. Pack score in all three phases. 45-7 the final.
We got better in areas that we needed to get better quickly. Obviously, we have a short turnaround here getting ready for conference play on a Friday. So, you know, it's going to be the same approach, just, you know, excited about the improvement I saw on the field.
This is a great game for us, you know, just get back on track, play efficient. We prepared for them to be in a certain thing. They changed on us, and I thought we played really efficient. You know, they were dropping a lot of guys in coverage, so we were able to run the ball and get the ball out of my hands quickly and just stay efficient and stay in front of the chains. And I thought we did a good job this week with doing that.
Number 21 Duke looking to start 3-0 for the second year in a row. Fairmont's Jordan Waters fresh off a career outing last week. He rushes for 2 touchdowns in the first half, including this 24-yard scamper for the 7-0 Blue Devil lead. Riley Leonard led all Duke players in rushing in the first half thanks to this 33-yard quake down the field that eclipsed 1,000 yards on the ground in his young career. Right now, Duke up big 38-7 in the fourth quarter. Campbell Seattle trailed Mammoth much of this game, but they took the lead for good in the fourth quarter, pulling out a 45-31 win. And with it, the Camels get their first CAA conference win. All righty, let's take a look at some of the other scores. NC Central out in Cali taking on UCLA. This one's getting out of hand. 38-0 in the second quarter. Virginia State takes down St. Augs 55-12. And Shaw is down to Bowie State 14-7. Well, after 326 career AAA games with the Bulls, Tristan Gray has been called up to the show. We wish him luck with Tampa Bay. Meanwhile, in Durham, the Bulls and Louisville Bats playing in Game 5 tonight. Can't make it to the DBAP. You can watch all the action on WREL Plus. And that first pitch, Mark, is in just a few minutes.
All right. And you mentioned you were out at the NC State game. I had friends that were out there. That score, it was a big deal. Obviously, how was the vibe while you were out there this afternoon? Pretty fun?
Honestly, it was great. It was a packed stadium, and a lot of the students also sticking around, even though it was a blowout. That's what you love to see. I know Dave Doran likes to see all the fans in the seats, and it was just, yeah, there was a lot of students out there, a lot of fans, and you love to see it. It was a perfect day. I was out there last week when it was raining, pouring, so this one was a much better vibe, if you will, and of course, it always helps for the pack to get
a few degrees cooler would be perfect.
Yes, that too. Thanks.
All right, Casey, thank you very much, and thank you for joining us here this evening. Stay tuned now for NBC Nightly News, and we'll see you back here on Fox 50 at 10.